Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of the hearing be? If the whole body were part of an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Well, good morning, friends. It's awesome to be together this morning. I'm glad you're here. You've probably heard the saying that variety is the spice of life. And for some, that's more true than for others. For some, you prefer to have the same thing that you always go back to. But for many others, and if I think we're honest with each other, we would say there is some truth in that. That variety is the spice of life. Like, this would be the reason why you don't only have a closet full of brown socks. You have more of a variety there. It's why you don't eat plain oatmeal every single morning for breakfast. You jumped the gun on that one on me there, Jordan. Suppose that you would go to, I don't know, a buffet somewhere. Just put it up. I had this whole thing, but it's okay. If you would go to a buffet, you expect to see more of a variety, right? I mean, what if you would go to a buffet and all you see is green beans? Like, even if they've got the pieces of bacon in with them, you need something a little. In order for the green bean to live its best life, it's got to have a little bit of mashed potatoes or some ham to go along with it. Variety is the spice of life. Ham goes well with green beans, I think. By the way, do you know what you call a pig who knows karate? A pork chop! We'll get on track here. Let me just jump right to the heart of the matter. I think sometimes we want everyone to look and think and act like we do. That's the temptation sometimes, is to criticize and judge people who look different or who act different or who think different or who speak differently than ourselves. And so this morning, we're just going to have the opportunity to look into the scriptures and see that people, and specifically believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, come in all shapes and sizes and varieties and backgrounds and ethnicities and personalities with different strengths and weaknesses and senses of humor. And it's by God's design that God has such variety and creativity in the created order, including humanity. He designed it like a spiritual buffet, not just the green bean, a spiritual buffet. Different dishes and flavors and ingredients. Why? Because we all come together to present that beautiful meal and table that the world, the unbelieving world, so desperately needs. Nourishment for their souls. And in doing so, we accomplish something amazing. That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So my name is John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor. Thrilled to be with you this morning. Sunday is my favorite day, and I'm just glad that you have chosen to come and worship with us today. And I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow even stronger in the Lord. We're doing a sermon series on 1st and 2nd Corinthians this summer. So we're going through these books taking a few chapters at a time, so it's not an exhaustive verse-by-verse study. But we're being encouraged as we look at these letters written to the believers who were in this city of Corinth to build up the body of Christ. We're being encouraged with that. We're being challenged. What is my role? What is my part? And what are the ways in which I can be an encouragement and a blessing to those around me? And in chapter 12, where we're going to spend our time together this morning, Paul uses the metaphor of the church, believers in the Lord Jesus, as a body, living, breathing, moving organism, and a body that has variety, and a body that has been uniquely and specifically designed with those unique parts for the glory of God. Because a body has feet, and a body has ears, and a body has kneecaps. And in the body of Christ, then, in the church, we've got introverts and extroverts. We've got planners, and we've got those that are more spontaneous. We've got those who are matter of fact, and we've got those that are more nuanced. We've got teachers. We've got public personalities. We've got those who serve behind the scenes, and everything else that we can imagine. And so I want us to recognize this morning, as we study the Word of God, that it is by God's design that in the church there is such beautiful variety. Such beautiful variety. And that each part matters. That is to say, every person has a place. And together, we are the body. And Christ is the head. In fact, if we look at verse 27, go ahead and open your Bible this morning. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If we look at verse 27, we see kind of the main thesis and point of the passage. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Of course, this means that we are connected to one another. And again, as I said, each part is important because each part has an essential function, and there is this great beauty in our variety, and there's value in every single part. God designed it in such a way that no part stands alone. We are all connected one to another. Every part has a purpose. Every person has a place. So we ended our study last Sunday at the end of chapter 10, actually the first verse of chapter 11, which is part of that. And in chapter 11, which again, we're not really going to study in depth this morning, but it's where Paul teaches on head coverings, one of our favorite topics, I say sarcastically. And certainly in our community and with our background, this can be, a hot topic. And I'll just say this, it's a matter of conscience. Just as Caleb preached last Sunday about a variety of issues on which we can disagree. For some, this would be a deeply held conviction. And we encourage them wholeheartedly to follow that conviction. To the glory of God, wear the covering. Others don't have that conviction, and we embrace them as they are. And really, when you look into the teaching there, you start to realize that the covering is a sign of submission. It's an external sign of an inward reality. It's specifically a passage that is aimed at married women. And it talks about God's design and institution for headship, for leadership, and how Christ is the head of all men and women, and men are the head of women. And I just want to be clear on that, like, in no way does that speak to men being more important than women, or men being better than women, men being more valuable. That's not it at all. It's not that men are more capable. It's not that men are more gifted. It's that in God's beautiful design, and again, this is what we're learning this morning from these chapters, from this teaching, that in God's beautiful design, in the body of Christ, we all have a part and we all have a function. And so the reality, the truth of Scripture is that there are unique and God-designed roles given to women. And there are unique and God-designed roles given to men. And so we can take that from chapter 11. In fact, in verse 11 of chapter 11, it says this, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. So again, there is an interconnectedness there that we would not be whole without one another. And so I would love for us this morning and even moving forward together as a church family to embrace and to celebrate the beautiful variety the roles that God has given within the body of Christ. Some are unique to men, some are unique to women. And each one of us, unique and created in a special way in the image of God. We see in the first part of chapter 12, then, a teaching on spiritual gifts, how God has given unique gifts to each of the believers. That's in verses 1 through 11. What we're going to spend our time on, where we're really going to zero in, is on the next passage where Connor read for us this morning, so starting in verse 12. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, here's what we see. Variety is vital in the body of Christ, and that's because we're different by design. It's not an accident. It's actually the handiwork, the craftsmanship of the ultimate creator and artist, God himself. And the church thrives because of our differences and when we embrace and celebrate and recognize those differences. Different gifts, different passions, different backgrounds. And again, these are not accidental, they're essential. And as I mentioned before, Paul begins this teaching in this passage then with this image and this analogy that we can easily understand the human body. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Just as a body, and again, he's referring to the human body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by our one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we're all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If you think about, and I'm not really well trained or informed about human anatomy. There are some of you that know a lot more than I do. But even if you think about the bones alone in the human body, 206 bones, there is such unique variety and function in the bones that God has put in our body. The size, the shape, the weight, the density, like they are perfectly suited to carry out their purposes. And again, just to help us recognize that sometimes we want people to look like us and act like us and think like us. What would your body look like if you had 206 kneecaps? It would be hideous, okay? Like, you would look like a freak. We don't want 206 bones in our body that are all the patella, or pick a bone for that matter. And there's uniqueness and there is variety, and it's good. That's what gives our bodies the shape they have, and each one has their purpose and their function. So I realize this is an overly simplistic idea, and yet I think it's really profound, and I think it's really needed. God designed the human body with all of these different functions and purposes, and in the same way, that's his heart for his bride, the body of Christ, the church. Men and women, boys and girls, believers who put their faith in him. We function together, each one with our own unique design. The church is not meant to be a collection of identical people. We have unity, yes, absolutely, but not uniformity. And we form one body despite our differences. So again, rich or poor, loud or quiet, young or not so young. All of these differences, male or female, and we're united by the Holy Spirit. We are part of something much bigger than ourselves. We're different by design, and we function then in concert with other believers. So let's use a different analogy, which is music. Like, when you hear an instrument playing, that's fine. Maybe it's being played with skill. Oh, that sounds nice. But when you hear the instrument and it's being played as part of a band or part of an orchestra, I mean, then it's unmatched. It's unrivaled. It's elation when you hear music like that. And so in that same way, it's like each of us maybe is like an instrument. And when we play together, we make those beautiful songs that the Lord has called us to. And for some of you, you're like, I don't know if I'm an instrument because I'm not very good at hitting those notes. You know, maybe you're like, I'm just the one-note flute. Maybe you're the one-note flute. And here's what I say to you. Then play your one note to the glory of God. And play that one note the best you can. And you might just be surprised at what it sounds like when you join in the song.
The Pygmies have invented a fabulous musical technique or instrumental technique, which consists in having a conversation with their own instrument. You know, the technique is very simple, but someone had to find it out, and they did. You ask the flute to speak to you, and the flute says something like, and you reply to the flute by saying.
So he's playing a one-note flute.
Oh.
Your one note is beautiful when it's played as part of the song with the other notes or the other instruments. It's beautiful when it's given in praise to God. Just like 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, we could say, or play your flute, or whatever you do, help me out. Do it all for the glory of God. Because every part has a purpose. Every part has a purpose. You've probably heard the story, it's a famous one and it's a true one, when President John F. Kennedy visited NASA, this was in 1962. And during his tour, he encountered a janitor who was carrying a mop, I think, or a broom. And Kennedy asked the man what he did at NASA, to which he replied, I'm helping put a man on the moon. A janitor with a mop in his hand said, I'm helping to put a man on the moon. Like maybe that day, his assignment was cleaning floors. But he just knew that the work he had, the work he was called to, his part, his role, was vital to the greater mission. I just would so love for us as a local church, and as believers who are part of a worldwide network of God's kingdom, I would love for us to have that same attitude, that same heart, that same spirit. We each have a different assignment. We each have a different role to play, a different part to play, but we have the same mission. And we express that here by saying, to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. And it might be in kids' ministry, it might be in youth ministry, it might be in your core group, it might be the person who makes coffee. Thank you, Marty. The mission is to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. I would love for us to embrace that same spirit, to recognize that we are part of something bigger. We have a mission together, and we need each part, and that each part has a purpose. Okay, let's keep reading. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh yeah, I love this part. It gets very humorous, where he imagines like parts of the body complaining about not being something else. So let's pick it back up at verse 15. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them. You see that? God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So again, this these verses, it gets a little ridiculous here when you have body parts speaking out and saying, I don't want to be a part of this body anymore. Like, how silly is it? And yet, that's just the point. How silly and foolish we can be. When we look at the giftedness, when we look at the role that someone else has, and we say, well, that's what I should be, that's what I should do. And we say, no, we need you. If you're the nose, be the best nose you can be, because we want to smell that ham and those green beans. Or we feel like we don't belong. So sometimes, again, and I think this happens maybe in gatherings or groups or communities or local church where you're forced into looking and sounding and being identical. And all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't really think that way or look that way, so I guess I don't belong. It's like, no, that's not it. That's not the point. The body needs all of its parts to function properly. Again, this is really simple. This makes a lot of sense to us as we think about the beautiful analogy that Paul has given us in chapter 12. And then we apply it to the local church. We need every part in the local church doing their function. What does that mean? It means we need you. It means we will not be the church that God intends for us to be. We will not accomplish our mission that God has for us if you're not doing your role, your part, with joy to the Lord. And celebrating and cheering on others who have a different role than you. A few years ago, it was more like 10 or 12 years ago, I injured my pinky finger. And so I had one of those awkward little like brace thingies that you put on it for, I don't know, a month or however long it takes to heal. And it was amazing during that time how often I like bumped it, twisted it, stubbed it, like it was, and or trying to do things, and I got the brace on, it doesn't work, or take the brace off, then it's susceptible and it bends the wrong way. Like, it was incredible where you think, the pinky finger's really not a major player. Like, I don't even know, like, how important is this? And for a month or so, I mean, boy, I really cared about the pinky finger. I began to realize how important it is, how beautiful it is. I need this pinky finger, and I need it to be healthy and whole and doing its part for me to be whole. And the reason I noticed it, the reason I felt it, is because we are connected for a reason, including the pinky finger. I need my pinky. You need your pinky. You can't just get rid of a body part, as Paul has taught here. You can't just cease to be a part of the body. That's not how bodies work. That's also not how the church works. When the Lord has joined together believers who live together then in covenant community, one with another, we are connected. Like a family, like a body, joined together. So maybe for some of you, this is perhaps the most important thing that you need to hear this morning, that you belong here. That you are needed here, that you are wanted here. That it's not, you don't really fit in here, you don't really know your role here. And maybe if you're in that place and you're struggling with what is my role, where do I fit, we'd love to come alongside you in that way. We've got a staff of people who know and love and serve our church family. We've got elders who are shepherding. We've got core group leaders. In fact, we've got a whole gifts team. I'm not trying to add to your plate, gifts team, but they love to sit down with you and pray with you and consider the way God has wired you. And maybe there's a role that we have that we're praying for. Boy, we just need the right person to come along. And you've got something that God is stirring in you. It's like, I don't know where I fit in. I just want to, maybe it's a perfect match. I just have a belief that God has a way of doing that. So please know that maybe if you're in that place and you're feeling like, I don't know if I belong, I don't know if I fit in, you do. And there is a place for you. And we would love to help you figure that out. We're connected for a reason. This is where the teaching, I think, gets really practical. Because in any group of people, no matter what, if it's a family, if it's a team, if it's a church, if it's a workplace, like, there's going to be friction. There are going to be misunderstandings because we're humans. because we're flawed, because we're sinful, because communication doesn't always go the way we want. It's like, I sent that email. I didn't intend to say what the person thought that I said. I got to go and make this right. We got to go and get on the same page together. And you're going to run into people, and this happens in the local church, and it's people who, they think differently than you do. I mean, this is where it starts to get really practical, because sharing the life-giving power of Jesus with the world could be done any number of ways, couldn't it? And you have churches who do all kinds of different activities and things, and they sort of like kind of just slap a church sticker on it and go, yeah, that's church. We're doing our mission. Like, well, how's that accomplishing the end goal? And so when we do life together in the body of Christ as a local church, there's bound to be those times where we maybe even butt heads. Or where you say, John, I'm not sure that that's the right ministry approach or ministry method. And I say, well, I think it is. And tell me about what you think. And let's continue to work together rather than argue or divide. And say, well, I could go to a church down the street. Let's continue to work together and grow together. And again, in this, to embrace our differences. Because there are people who worship a little differently than you do. Are we mature enough to say, that's okay and that's good? And I'm going to cheer you on in your worship of Almighty God. And I would ask that you respect the way I do it. And let's do it together. And let's learn and grow from each other. Are we willing to extend that out to people who vote differently? Are we willing to show grace to people who they have a different perspective on the world or even on our nation? Again, this is where it starts to get really practical. As a local church, as a body of Christ, we are connected for a reason. But if we are not cautious and diligent about keeping, and you may need to go back if you didn't hear the sermon that I preached 2 weeks ago on unity, 3 weeks ago, I believe. We maintain the unity. We don't have to create it. It's already created through the Holy Spirit. But we work to maintain that unity through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And the Scripture teaches that very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You are connected. So let's pick it back up at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And then he says, for if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And we arrive back to where we started, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Those parts that we, and this is what he's teaching here, those parts that we don't see, that aren't presentable, are the ones that are most critical. And even if you think about it in terms of like our internal organs, that would be true. You cannot see them, but they're vital to your life. Nobody sees them, but try living without them. So what a great analogy as we think about believers in the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's that quiet intercessor who just goes before the Lord morning, noon, and night. Behind the scenes. Doesn't get many accolades, doesn't get many pats on the back. Is that one less important to our church than the one who gets to stand on the stage with the microphone and teach the word of God? No, both are important. Both have equal value. The person who's making the coffee, again, just as valuable, just as important as the one who leads the worship songs. And when one part suffers, we all suffer with it. When one part is honored, we all rejoice. That's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. That's really what it means to be part of a church family. So how could we live this out? And Caleb, if you would come to play for us, please. Boy, that's the question, isn't it? Like, how do we become a church that embraces variety and doesn't just become a church that splinters into smaller little factions that look and sound and think alike? We could give a lot of time and thought to that, couldn't we, Freeman? I mean, that's my heart and that's my prayer. And that's what the Lord has for us. And that's the teaching from this passage. I don't have all the answers. But I know, and I know this deeply, and I know this truly, that it has something to do with, and a big part of this is, how would we stay unified as a church despite our variety? It's by remembering the one who holds it all together, Jesus. It's keeping our eyes fixed on him, King Jesus. In that way, it's kind of like the gospel is the great equalizer. It reminds us, none of us are here because we earned it. None of us deserve God's goodness and grace poured out to us. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We were all at one time outsiders who have been invited in. We were all spiritual orphans who have been adopted. We were once all dead, according to the scriptures, spiritually dead, separated from God. And now we've been made alive through Christ. So I don't think Jesus came just to make a church full of clones. I think he uniquely designed each one for its part, for its purpose. And he then came to redeem a diverse people, to make them one, to unify them, and to call them to live on mission together. So because Jesus died for every kind of person, we embrace every kind of person. Because Jesus is our head, again, using the analogy of the body, Jesus is the head and we are the body. And so we follow him together, even when it's hard, even when it's messy, even when it means loving people who are different from yourself. So you're not a spare part. You're not expendable. You cannot just cease to be connected. You're not forgotten. You're not a mistake. You are a vital part of the body of Christ. And on this Father's Day, I would love to speak to men for just a moment. Because I would love for today to be more than just a celebration of Dad. Thanks, Dad. I would love for it to be a commissioning and a calling and a challenge. So we honor fathers, yes, but we also see the great need and opportunity that is before them. So could I just issue a holy challenge today? In a world that's just pulling men in every direction, God calls us to walk a narrow path. The path that leads to life. And it's a path of love, it's a path of integrity, it's a path of leadership rooted in Christ. So your role as husband, as father, as mentor, as a spiritual brother and leader, it matters more than you know. And it's not that people need you to be perfect, but they need you to be present. Don't have to be perfect, but we're calling you to be present. Show up. Speak up. Listen with patience when needed. Model that life surrendered to God. In fact, if that's the kind of man you want to be and you will commit to be, I would ask you to stand. And this doesn't just have to be dads. You can be a spiritual father or brother. I would invite you to stand. If that's the kind of man you want to be, I would ask you to stand up in the presence of your church family, in the presence of these witnesses. Say, that's the kind of leader, that's the kind of husband, that's the kind of dad, even spiritual father and friend that I want to be. And we want to honor you, and we want to recognize you, and we want to encourage you. don't just lead with those rules and the because I said so. Lead by example. Pray openly and often. Serve humbly. Love sacrificially. Build that life and that house not just with wood beams and drywall, but with wisdom and with leadership. And I think the greatest gift you could possibly give to your family is a life that is fully devoted to the Lord, a heart that belongs to Him, a life that says and a mouth that speaks, as for me, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. And so today I challenge all of the men that are here, will you rise up? Will you be courageous? Will you be consistent? Be uncompromising. Spend time in the Word of God every single day. Offer words of encouragement to those that are around you. Put that hand on, even if it's a 5-second encouragement and prayer of blessing. Speak life, speak hope. Sow those seeds that build up the body of Christ, that build up your family, the ones that you love, that God has given you influence over. These are the leaders we need. In our homes, in our church, in our community, and yes, in our world. Let's be a generation of men that don't shrink back, who love fiercely and who lead faithfully and who walk closely with Jesus. And I want to pray a blessing over you now. Join me in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men. And I thank you for the hearts that are devoted to you and even now leaning into you and the things that you have for them. And oh God, they cannot do it on their own strength. So would you fill them with your Holy Spirit and empower them to lead and to love in a way that reflects the heart of Christ. For those that are married, Lord, give them a fierce love for their wives. For those who are fathers, give them that heart of a father that is turned toward his children, who not only just is a rule enforcer, but who is willing to be a counselor as well. Give them the gentleness needed at times and give them the courage and bravery to speak the truth as well. So in each of these, Lord, we lift them up to you, asking for your help and asking for your blessing upon them, and we thank you for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.